And I think, too, for me, what it's done is control of, like what you said earlier, control of your time. You know, if you want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, you can. If you want to wake up at 7 o'clock or 9 o'clock or take one day off, and that is definitely a benefit of having control of your life. Donna, we're going to give you the opportunity to ask one more question. Go ahead.
If you were 20 and know what you know now, what would you do differently on your road to success?
That's too easy. That question is what I know now. Well, I know who won the Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I know I'd break Vegas.
Hindsight, huh?
Yes. Hindsight is a wonderful thing, yes. I would do things differently. I would be more humble in the beginning when I start to make money. A little of it did go to my head. You somehow turn your back on charity. You turn your back on God because you think you are the man.
Right, yeah.
You know, the world can't stop you. Well, that's garbage, you know. But when that happened to me, it was very natural. It happens to everyone. But I would probably do more charity work. Success was end of a journey. And now I believe success is the whole journey. You've got to stop to smell the flowers along the way, because it's not like you really come to the end of the tunnel and it's bright sunshine and you say, aha, I've arrived.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. It's more like filling your pockets with quarters, and it just gets fuller and fuller and fuller. But when your pockets are completely full, it doesn't mean, okay, I've arrived. You were getting there slowly, slowly. So while you're getting there, do nice things for people. Help as many people as you can, because it'll come back to you 10 times over. And you've got to believe this, because I believe it wholeheartedly in my heart and soul, that every time I help someone, it's going to come back to me 10 times over. So I do it for selfish reasons. Charity, for example. I gave some money to charity the other day, and some of my friends did too, and we were all saying, God, how good it feels. And I said, you know, we're all very selfish people. We're giving money to charity because we have this great feeling. So we're really not doing anybody any favors. We're getting back a fantastic
right,
feeling. Instant gratification right away.
Sure. Well, moving right along, our next question is from Melanie. Let's hear her question.
Hi, Gary. Thank you so much for letting me be on your program. I've been listening to your self-esteem program, and I think that it's really a good program. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm really hopeful that it's going to be of help to me, and so far so good. I do have a question for you. What strategies and traits does a financially successful person have that helps them keep their eye on the goal in the face of defeat?
Melanie, the strategies and traits differ from person to person. So what my strategies would be different from your strategies. First of all, you've got to love what you do. Don't open up a boarding house for dogs if you're not a true dog lover. Don't do it, because it ain't gonna happen. You will not be successful. Don't do it because someone told you you can make $100,000 a year doing it. But if you don't genuinely like dogs, don't do it. You know, traits and all that it's personal. Some people like flying. Some people like going underwater. Whatever you like, that's your trait, and your strategy has to be wrapped around that.
So let's say Melanie figures out something that she really loves, and she just loves it to death, but she's having a real tough time now. You know, I mean, she's just getting started, what have you, and then she sees some defeat here. What would be your strategy to keep you going, to get you off your butt and keep going forward?
You must know a few friends who like the same thing. Maybe the same, you went to a meeting to learn about something, and sewing, or you like embroidery. You go to this embroidery class, and there are 4 or 5 or 10 other people who like embroidery. You make friends, you form a support group mentally. You don't have to physically do any. You just get their name, their number, you talk to them, and you'll find one or two out of those people are on the same level as you. You're both going in the same direction.
And it may be conflicting businesses too. You're just looking for some people like I did when I was 15 and 16 years old, because you knew my father when he was alive. I clung on to you. I hung on to you. I hung on to another millionaire and some other people. And you guys fed me because you saw me going through my hard times, and you knew that you could hold on to me. I knew I could hold on to you, and we had the same mind of thought.
Very much so. Very much so. And even better if you can get a mentor. If there's someone that you respect for what he or she has done, you know them, talk to them. They're regular people, like you and me. People don't approach them because they think they're unapproachable. They're not. They're happy to help.
You know, and I think that's a misunderstanding with a lot of people. You know, how much or how important it is to you to give. Well, not only do you give charity in dollars and cents, but you appreciate sharing your advice and information like you are today. And I need people to understand that there are a lot of successful people out there that want to share their advice. They want to help you. They want to teach you. And there are people that just enjoy the idea of seeing someone try to make it and work hard. And because of that, they're willing to help you.
Exactly. And you will become one of those. You will change.
Good point.
You know, I don't know how many of you are, what your ages are, but you ever wake up one day and say, my God, I've become my mother. It happens. You will change. You know, I've said it. My God, I've become my father. It just happens. So if you go to a mentor and the mentor works with you and helps you and shows you, eventually when you get there, you yourself will be a mentor, and it just happens.
And I think that's important, too. That's a part of looking ahead. You know, if you're going to a mentor to have them support and help you, you need to be saying one day in your mind, I'm going to be able to do this for somebody when I hit my level. I'm going to be able to do this for somebody when they come to me with a challenge, just as this person is helping me out. And that also helps a person to be able to believe and look ahead.
That's right. And make yourself the promise. You may break a promise to someone else, but very few of us break a promise to ourselves. So make yourself promises. Back yourself against the wall.
That's a good point.
You know, but say to yourself, I will be rich. Not if I become rich, but when I become rich. When. I've always said that to myself. Whenever I did tasks that I hated doing, for example, cutting the lawn, because I'm not an outside person. I've got allergies. I've got asthma. The smell of fresh grass is nice, but it bothers me chemically. So, and I used to say, boy, the first time I can afford to get someone to do this, I am going to.
But, and I like that point, because you didn't say, boy, you know, I'm really tired of being poor, because if I was rich, I wouldn't be doing this. You looked at it completely different. It's when I get to this point, I quit this and somebody else is doing it for me.
Well, I was at the point already, mentally.
Right.
So mentally, I'm there. Guys, girls, whoever's listening to this, mentally, you've got to put yourself there.
That's a good point. And you know it too. You know if you're mentally there. So if you don't know you're mentally there, then you're not there.
Then exactly.
So that's why you want to listen to this program. That's why you want to listen to other programs. That's why you want to get a mentor. That's why you want to fill your brain with information like this, because it gives you the mindset and it makes you get there.
Remember we talked about investing in yourself? This is it, folks. Invest in yourself. Listen to programs. Listen to other people who have been there, who have felt the same things you feel now. And they're giving you their benefit of their 20 or 30 years of suffering all in a one-hour tape.
Sure. And that's why I like to share my story. And I know you were very instrumental in helping me get through it. For those of you who may not know it, when I was 17, I got married. My wife and I, we had a baby. Then later on, she tells me the baby wasn't mine. And of course, Manny, you were very, very instrumental in helping me to hang in there. And then my father was murdered, which you were very, very close to. My stepfather, my grandfather died of cancer. My uncle was killed in a plane crash. All the business and all the money that I had made with you showing me how to get into business, I lost everything. And what we have to do is we have to learn that we have to go beyond that. Now, not only do we have problems maybe in our businesses, but how do you handle tragedies at home, you know, outside of the business? How do you handle moving forward so it doesn't affect your business? Because if we have personal problems that are really painful, it's kind of hard to want to get up in the morning and do something.
Very true. I remember when you found out that your son was not your son, you used to call me. I think I spent a total of 18 hours with you. I must have had 10, 15 phone calls. Each one was an hour, hour and a half. Most of the time you were crying, and you needed to. I realized that you needed to get it out of your system. So I hung in there. Sometimes I didn't have much to say, but I was there. You knew I was on the other end of the phone, and you needed to get this grief out of you. You cannot just wallow in it and say, okay, this is it. I have no breaks. God doesn't love me. The end of the world. It doesn't work that way. I'm not saying that there's not going to be pain in your life. I have had pain in my life. I could sit here and talk to you for another 5 hours about all the pain I've had in my life. And so can Gary. But we don't look at the pain. We look at the positive. The pain, it was just something that you had to cross. It's like when Indiana Jones had to get to that, through that cave, down to that, to get that, was it a bag of gold or the gold dust or something. He went through every step he took. Some arrows came at him, or the ground gave way. Something happened. You're going to have a lot of that, a lot of it. Back to mental attitude. You've got to say to yourself, I expect this. I've got to go through this. If you don't go through hard times, I don't think you're going to get there.
Because it's too easy. But if it's going to be easy, everybody's going to do it.
Yeah, there is no free lunch. There it ain't out there. You've got to go through hard times. And when you do go through the hard times, look at yourself and say, okay, that's one more behind me.
There you go.
You know, it's an obstacle and I just went over it. Let's move on. Hey, bring me the next obstacle. And that's the attitude you've got to have. You cannot say, God, you know, my car broke down, all four tires were flat, you know, it just doesn't work for me. I wasn't made for this or cut out for this. Nah, it's just an obstacle. Move on. Go over it. Find your way out of it. And go to the next one. And it's not going to be easy. Some of it you will lose one night's sleep, 10 nights sleeps, 15 nights sleep. But you will get over it. And you move on. And your attitude must be, when is the next one going to sneak up on me?
Yep.
Look for it. And you'll handle it. And with the practice, you'll get better and better at handling these things.
Mano, our next question is from a lady by the name of Linda. So let's go ahead and get her question.
Hi, Gary. How are you? I still want to thank you for inviting me on this. I've got a couple of your programs, and I have really enjoyed them and learned a lot about myself and a lot about building my home business. Here's my question. Many people nowadays have trouble defining their goals and visions and then setting their sights in such a way as to actually pursue and attain those goals and visions. What advice would you give someone about defining exactly what their goals and visions are, and what techniques did you use to ensure that you remained on track to obtain those goals?
Hi, Linda. The advice I would give someone about defining their goals and visions are, I used to personally write, whenever I write something down, somehow I remember it better. Even if I throw that paper away, I remember it better.
But don't throw it away, guys. Write it down.
So I used to write my goals down. It's baby steps and then big steps. My baby steps were a red Mercedes. You know, this is the baby. This is not the retire and I want to be a millionaire. This is the little things as you go along the way that you want. You may want a jet ski or whatever. Mine was a red Mercedes. And I got my red Mercedes 2 years after I went into business, and I made sure it was a red Mercedes. When I got it, well, I don't know if I was that thrilled with it as wanting it. You know, sometimes they say, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. And sometimes when you get something, the happiness is not, you know, you say, is that all there is to it? So I gave it to my wife. And she used the red Mercedes. These were my goals. I wrote them down. I scotch taped them to the mirror where I shave every morning. I have to look at my goals every morning I have to look at my goals last thing before I go to bed. Not just for my benefit, but for my little helper, my little subconscious mind. My subconscious mind works when I'm sleeping. So the last thing before I go to bed is I need to know my goals. I need to know my end result or my baby steps. All of this together, you read, okay, I want to be able to do so and so, or I want to be able to take a week off or a vacation or a red Mercedes. By defining that, you write them down. It's very important. You need to go back and look at it twice a day, morning and night. You've got to keep doing it, and you'll find that when you first write these goals down, it's like a humongous task. And a year behind you, or 6 months, or whatever time, all of a sudden, they're piddly little things. You said to yourself, gee, a Mercedes was my goal? You know, I could buy a Learjet now.
So the saying that I like to help people remember is make a paper and pen your best friend. Because if you're writing it down, you're going to have it. And as you see here in the studio, I've got tons of pictures of Learjets and airplanes and helicopters. And it keeps you very focused. And if it's not in front of you, you're going to forget about it.
Immerse yourself. Immerse yourself completely. And the big handwriting, the big numbers will just get smaller and smaller every day. Believe me. Try it. The numbers just... The list gets piddly. All of a sudden, you got to make another list.
And what's interesting now, $1 million to you is a lot less than what it was 20 or 30 years ago. Because
exactly.
I look at, you know, you think, wow, $1 million, well, for me to attain $1 million. And when you get to that level, it's really not that much.
That's right. My 20-year-old daughter used to say, God, you know, $1 million? You know, and I used to look at it and say, Don't even say it that way.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Because you make it too big in your mind.
Yeah, don't even say it that way. Just say $1 million. You know, it's no big deal. You need to make your goals come to you also by making them attainable and smaller. And it's the same thing. It's the same $1 million, but it's not $1 million. It's $1 million, you know? It's not a big deal. It's there. And that list will get smaller. Pretty soon you'll need glasses to read your handwriting because it's too small. You make another list, and then you make a third list, and as you go along. And that's how you get to the journey. That is the journey. And don't forget, on your way to the journey, every time you finish a list, turn around, thank God, and thank God by giving some money to charity, doing some kind deed for other people. I believe this is very important in your getting from point A to point B. If you do not help people along the way, it's going to get tougher for you. You've got to help. It works. It's like magic. It works. You've got to help people along the way. And I'm not a preacher. I'm not trying to change anyone's beliefs or thinking of religion or anything, but it does. You've got to help unfortunate people. Today you are unfortunate, someone else is going to help you. You've got to turn around and do the same, because it's a chain. It works.
Our next question, Mana, comes from a gentleman by the name of Aaron. Aaron, go ahead with your question.
Since a proper mindset is key to success, what is your mindset, and what do you do daily to keep that mindset focused?
Aaron, your question is a little similar to Linda's, and the same thing. You know, repetition and immersing yourself. If you want a jet ski, go out and buy a poster of a jet ski that you really like, and pin it up in your room. Pin it up where you'll see it every day. Look at it every day. Slowly and slow, day by day, that jet ski is going to be yours. It'll just reach towards you, and you'll reach towards it like a magnet, like magnet and North Pole. It just happens.
Oh, we're not talking about financing it, are we? No.
No. I don't finance anything. I don't believe in it. I think if I finance myself, I'm running the business of being my own bank, so I'm getting my own interest rate. And I don't have to worry that if something happens tomorrow and I lose everything, I don't want to go back and have to and lose everything that I financed, because you'll lose it. Those people are nice. Nothing bad. Those people are nice when they lend you the money. But you miss a payment and see what happens.
Right. And we're not saying that when you start your business or your venture or whatever, don't borrow money. We talked about this earlier in the program. I think Manny would agree with me. We don't believe in financing personal things like the lawnmower or the couch. We believe in putting some money in the business and financing that, something that's going to give you a return, something that you're going to profit from. Also, too, I think with regards to the mindset, I know you're similar to me, and this is, we will not be defeated. Give me your take on that. I know when I have a bad day and things don't go that my way, I will not stop. I will not be denied. I will not be defeated. I will get up. It may take a day or two, but I will get up and I'll keep going.
Absolutely. You know, one of the greatest things that I've ever accomplished in my life is I quit smoking a few years ago. And I was having a tough time because that was my crutch. You know, I cigarettes were, they kept me going. But I knew they were bad for me, and I've got to quit. And one sentence helped me. Now, maybe you all want to write this down, but this was a great sentence. Just like Gary said, I will not be denied. I think that's a great sentence. But the one I used is when I had stopped smoking, and then 2 or 3 days later, 5 days later, when the little guy on my left shoulder tells me, hey, you know, just one cigarette, go ahead, you deserve it. You don't have any bad habits, you don't drink, you don't womanize, you don't do it. Have a cigarette. The little guy on my right side, my right shoulder, kept saying, smoking is not an option. Do whatever you want. Go out and eat the biggest meal you want. Go eat your favorite lobster. Go to a movie. Do whatever you want at this time, this moment. The guy on my right shoulder, the little angel, kept saying, smoking is not an option. So somehow, when you go through the bad and the rough, and you know you will not, you don't want to be denied, I think I'm going to keep, Gary, I'm going to use this, if you don't mind, for my self-motivation, that I will not be denied. And smoking is not an option or anything that I want to not do. I'll say, this is not an option. And if you say that enough, it's...
You'll make it believable. You've got to say that enough.
A little subconscious picks it up.
We're now going to hear from Spencer Mena, and he has two questions. We'll do one at a time.
Hello, Gary. First, I'd like to thank you for helping my wife. You've answered a lifelong question about herself, and she's just become a completely different person and a much better person for it, so I thank you again. One question I have, for someone like myself who has no support capital and has used all equity trying to take care of other things, how can I turn my dreams and hopes into reality?
Support comes in many ways, and you're right. If you have no support capital, what about your other supports? Is your brain working fine? Is your body okay? Can you walk? Can you talk? Do your arms move, your fingers? There's a lot more support than just capital. If you don't have capital, use your other support. Use your head, use your brains, and somehow either start something that doesn't require money to start so that someone can capitalize you in a way, or start saving a buck at a time.
And this is, you know, coming to think about saving a buck at a time, this is where we can't jump into that instant gratification, because if we're saving a buck at a time, we got to hold on to it.
Oh, yeah.
What about maybe even, you know, I mean, it sounds maybe silly, I don't know, having a garage sale, you know, cleaning out the house, selling up some stuff, setting it up for sale. I mean, we have to, like you said, use your brain. We've got to be creative. And also, maybe, you know, you got to think, too, there's other people that have money. Maybe we could use their money. Maybe we have somebody else that likes the idea that we have. That may be some options, too.
Very, very much so. Sit down and make a list of all your assets. And by assets, I don't mean your physical, concrete assets.
You mean not meaning financial assets?
Right. Well, that too. That's an asset. That's part of the list, but that's not the list.
Right.
Your other assets are, you're not in a wheelchair. or you're not blind. We take these things for granted. They're not. Don't take it for granted that you can see. It's a big asset. It helps that you can walk around a mud puddle. You've got your hands, your fingers, your brain. And you've got your thinking ability, you've got your freedom. And so make a list. Make a list. And once you make that list, you'll find that it just gets longer and longer and longer. And all of a sudden, you look at it and you say, my God, I've got a ton of assets at my disposal. So there you are. Your assets are there.
You know, it's a good point, too. I think by listing your assets, I think that would automatically change a person's attitude.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to think, wait a minute, I've got a little bit more than I thought. Maybe I don't have capital, but I've got a little bit of blood, sweat, and tears that I can put together.
Exactly. And make a pro list and a con list. And you'll find that your pro list is always outweighing your con list. Your con list, you'll say, hey, I don't have support capital. And sit down and think of what else you don't have and write it down. You'll find it hard-pressed. But on the other list, you'll just go on. And, you know, just sitting here, I've given you 10 things to think about, 20 things to think about. So put it down on paper. I believe in it. I believe when you put something down on paper, it somehow it flies. I picture it coming off the paper and flying up and just sticking in my brain. You just remember things better, and even if you don't have the paper with you, look at it every day. That becomes your support. And as Gary said, you know, there's no one in this country who can't turn around and get money. If even the homeless people, I see them picking up cans, and they have a whole garbage bag full of cans. Hey, that's money that they created from nothing. So if they can do it, you can do it. I'm not telling you to go out there and collect cans. And if you want to, hey, it's
an option.
Yeah, it's from the sweat of your own brow, thou shalt eat bread. So just don't do anything illegal along the way. Don't do things that are immoral. Don't do things that are unethical, because it'll come back and bite you in the butt.
And Spencer has one final question.
I want more in my professional life than to be able to stand on my own. How can I tell if what I'm feeling is fear of failure or pre-plunge butterflies?
Well, Spence, and I'm going to call you Spence. I know your name is Spencer, but we're going to be friends because you're going to call me one day soon in the future. Spence, I predict that you are going to be successful. The fact that you say there is nothing I want more in my professional life than to be able to stand on my own, that means you really, really want it. If you really, really want it, it will happen. So I'm telling you, you are going to be successful. You're going to call me, and eventually I'll be able to call you Spence. So I think I might as well start calling you Spence from now.
Now let's talk about the feeling of failure and the pre-plunge butterfly, Spencer. What I'm going to tell you from the psychological end, if you have pre-plunge butterflies, and try to say that 20 times real fast, what that's going to cause you to do is feel a little fearful, but you're still going to go forward and take some action steps. If you have a fear of failure, you're probably going to do nothing at all. I think the fact that you went forward and asked this question tells me that you're doing something to go forward. Because I do know your wife. You had mentioned to me just the fact that you wanted to ask this question, that you wouldn't even imagine in a million years that you would be doing something like this. And I'm in line with Mano's thinking here. That's telling us you want to be successful. You want to go forward. So when you feel uncomfortable about it, that's pre-plunge butterflies. If you allow yourself to do something and tell yourself that you're going forward and you're doing something that makes sure that you go forward.
You know, Gary's right. Also, keep in mind that pre-plunge butterflies and feelings, you know, that churn and turmoil are good for you. This means something is happening rather than nothing is happening. One of the greatest entertainers of our life, Frank Sinatra, you know, that man must have been on stage 10,000 times. He's done several movies, many, many, many hit records, but yet, every time he went on stage, he had butterflies, pre-plunge butterflies every time now. Can you imagine someone that great? Before he goes on stage, he has butterflies, but those butterflies make him perform better. That hone his senses, and they sharpen you. So don't be afraid of them. It's a good thing to have. It's like the good stress. There's a good stress and a bad stress. The good stress is it makes you find answers to these questions that are bothering you. So this pushes you, and the butterflies push you. So that, I think, Gary, I don't know if this is another way of saying it, but, you know, it is like a sharp giant pencil behind you, pushing you, and it's good for you.
Mano, our next question is from a gentleman by the name of Andrew.
Hi, Gary. I'm from England, and I found your tapes really useful. I have all your tape sets and listen to them quite often, and they helped me in building my network marketing business. And here's my question. How do you keep your levels of motivation and enthusiasm high when you are not getting obvious results, especially early on in the business building phase?
We've touched on this earlier on, Andrew. Your motivation comes from within and your enthusiasm from within. But as you say, you know, we all need to refresh, to replenish, to refill the glass with water.
How would you recommend he do that?
Each of us has our own way. My way is, believe it or not, to get away from the situation. I walk away from it. If my motivation is down and my enthusiasm is low, I get away from it as far as possible. And I kind of stay away from it for a while till my urge and need comes back to missing it. It's like living with someone and seeing them day in, day out for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. But the minute that someone goes on vacation, 3 weeks later, you miss that person. So, and they do say absence makes the heart grow fonder.
So now how would he apply this in his business, though, Mano? Because he can't just close his shop down for months if he's frustrated. So how could he take that information and apply it? I know he's a network marketer. And as he's building his business, he's going to have some of these problems. So how would you apply that principle to his particular situation?
Get advice. Get advice from other people. Don't forget that you must have joined your associations. I don't know whether you make bathtubs or you make shoes, but you must get magazines from these associations, or you go to the trade shows, and every trade show has a group that in your area, or a group that specializes in X, Y, and Z. And once you have those people, these are the people you turn to. I used to turn to my friends in Bradenton and Clearwater and Orlando who had retail stores. And I used to cry on their shoulders, and they used to perk me up. And they used to cry on my shoulders, and I used to perk them up. So, you know, no man is an island. You must learn to depend on other people's help. Don't be too proud. Don't think that, hey, you know, it's like a man who is lost in a car. He's too proud to stop and ask for directions.
And I think that's important, Mano, because if you don't have that mindset of working with other people and getting their advice, you are going to feel that you're the only one out there, and there's no one else out there that has these troubles, and it's not worth it. And that's why it's so important when you begin a business, or if you're in a business, get a support team of other people that when you have hard times, they're not going to say, oh, you know what you need? You need to find a job. You don't look for people like that. You're looking for people that have the same mindset. Hang in there, Andrew. Don't stop. Keep going. What can we do today? Something a little different than yesterday. Can we make another phone call? Can we make another presentation? Get the right people around you.
You're right. You're right, Gary. Otherwise, you'll feel like a one-legged table. You really need four legs. And so that one leg needs the other three to support, to help support.
And to prove that point, I guarantee you, after listening to this program, that you're going to walk away feeling refreshed, more successful, and more committed and confident to attaining your goals. Why? Because you fed off the right things, you fed off the right thoughts, and this is what we're giving you. So if you feel down tomorrow or next month, maybe what we need to do is pop the program back in and listen to it again.
That's right. Very true. And earlier on in the business building phase, even if it's your wife or your best friend or somebody, talk to them. Talk it out. Talk to yourself. Talk to the little guy on your right shoulder and talk to the little guy on your left shoulder. And
Andrew, he's not kidding. He's serious.
Yeah. You know, you've got to have an imagination. You've got to have a sense of humor. If you take a memory course on how to remember things, you know you have to use your imagination a lot. That's how it's done. So they want you to remember a certain word and connect it with another word. They paint you a mental picture of what to look for. So I'm painting you a picture. You've got to have a friend. And if you don't have a friend, if you're the only person on earth right now, you really don't create a friend, make a friend, have a little angel on your right shoulder, talk to it. You know, you don't have to be ashamed to talk to yourself. People talk to themselves. I talk to myself.
And I even answer back.
Now, that's when you start answering back is when the first sign of craziness.
That's when you start needing more of my programs.
So, you know, yes, there's always somewhere, somehow, if you want, you add to your list, you prepare for this. If it hasn't happened to you yet, look for it, prepare for it. Make a list of what you would do, because what I would do is different from what you would do. But what would you do to keep your motivation and enthusiasm high? Make a list. I would call my, you know, you could call your sister-in-law's father, because you get along well with him, and the man, you know, is something similar to yours, or he understands what you do. You know, these people will not ridicule you. They will take you seriously, and they will walk you through verbally any bad times that you're going through. And the fact that you're thinking about this up front, when I was growing up and all that, we didn't have motivational tape.
We sure didn't.
The only guy that was ever around was Dale Carnegie.
That's it.
And
good book, by the way. Very good book.
Excellent book, but, you know, one guy, Dale Carnegie, and it was really how to influence people and win friends. It was a very canned thing, and it today you have to be very diverse. So you're lucky. You're thinking about this up front. You have motivational tapes. You can listen to Gary's tapes, his other tapes. I think you have one about self-esteem, don't you?
Right, the new one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, tapes like that ought to be listened to constantly, and especially at night before you go to sleep.
Yeah, because that feeds your mind. You know, it's interesting, too. Just recently, I decided to listen to a lot more tapes, and I was just driving in the car, and I refused to listen to the radio, and I just put in one tape after another tape after another tape. And I literally felt unstoppable mentally, because I was constantly feeding myself with the right thing. And it takes a little effort. Yes, it takes a little effort to shut the TV off, to shut the radio off, put in a CD, put in a tape, call a friend. But these are the things that successful people have to do, because they know sometimes we're going to get down. We've got to look for a way to keep ourselves up.
If you talk to 10 successful people, they'll all tell you the same thing.
So there must be some reasoning behind it.
Yeah, we all can't be wrong.
Okay, next question. Donna, go ahead with your question.
Hi, Gary. Thanks again for the opportunity to ask a question. What percentage of your success do you contribute to determination versus luck?
You know, one of the things that used to bother me a lot when I first started to become successful is my wife's brother's wife. I don't know, would that make her my sister-in-law? I'm not sure. She used to say, "You're lucky. You're in a good mall, and you're doing good business." And every time she used the word lucky, it used to bother me.
Oh, yeah, I know the feeling.
She didn't know the 18 hours that I put in.
Every day.
You know what luck is? Luck is a byproduct of hard work.
Thank you. Well said.
That's all it is.
It's a numbers game. So if you work hard enough, sooner or later, what?
Something's gonna happen. You'll get lucky, in quotations. So keep working hard. I think 80-90%, there is some luck, don't get me wrong. But I believe, I don't think it's called luck. I believe that's...
cause and effect?
Yes, it's cause and effect, exactly. And so I would have to say 80% contribute to determination, 5 to 10% to real luck. Because sometimes, yes, you do walk into something. It's luck.
But I would say, though, for you to have to walk into that something, you've had to be determined to keep going forward toward your goals for even to have that door open to you.
There you go. There you go. So now you're even telling me
no luck.
luck is even less than 5%. So there you go. That kind of answers. Luck will be there. And that's why the word exists, luck. But you make your own luck.
You've got to go through the door.
The Chinese people believe in that. You make your own luck.
That's a good way to put that, because I personally don't believe in luck. But the way you put it, it makes sense. You make your own because that means you're going to do something, you're going to go forward. If you sit on your butt and you don't do anything about it, nothing's going to come your way.
That's right. When the door is knocking and you don't open it, the opportunity doesn't enter. And so you're not lucky, you know. But if you do answer it, and you may answer 10, you may answer 15. Was it Ben Franklin who invented so many things and he failed 900 times on trying to create or produce electricity?
Edison, right. Yeah, he tried over and over and over and over.
And it was the 1,000th time or something?
Yeah, 10,000 or some ridiculous amount.
Yeah, that he finally did it. And voila, he got lucky. You know? but you got to think about the other 9,999. That was determination. So determination is the key. Luck is just a byproduct. It's just a word.
Well, Manu, I want to thank you very, very much for helping us with this program. I got a lot out of it personally. I want to really let you know that I appreciate that. And these are tools and strategies that I know people who are listening to this program will be able to benefit from. And I'm looking forward to hearing from them. I'm hoping maybe they'll email us and let us know their success stories. And I'll certainly pass all that information to you.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate that. I enjoyed being here. And I hope if I have helped one person, I know Gary is going to sell thousands of these tapes, but if I've helped one person, I've done my part.
Well, I think you're going to help more than one person, and we'll let you know who all those people are. And thanks again for your time, Manu.
Thank you, and God bless you.